ScoreBoard.com. This is the Off Balance 3.
I actually can't believe what I just saw.
Brought to you by CrookedScoreBoard.com, where sports and comedy come together.
That is a disgusting act.
The Lakers have just pooped their big boy pants.
You take this outfit home, and you burn it.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yay!
Welcome to the first ever episode of The Off Balance 3, a show that promises to be more open-minded than Manny Pacquiao in a gay bar. This show is going to be huge. Your head is going to spin when you realize how much we're going to be winning. Believe me, sources tell me that Chris Broussard is driving around New Jersey right now, furious, trying to desperately get a face-to-face interview with me, your host, Aaron Hodges. But it's not all about me. I know I have the job security of David Blatt. This show could be number one in the podcast rankings, and that wouldn't be good enough. The gang at CrookedScoreBoard.com demands that I talk to funny comedians, sports writers, athletes, and regular Joes. The only requirement is that they love sports and they have a little bit of personality. It's not your typical sports talk. It's not your typical sports website, Crooked Scoreboard. It's fun. Doesn't take itself too seriously. Neither do I. Neither will this show. But I hope you guys enjoy it as we keep doing episodes and continue to evolve the show with new segments, new games, new ideas. I'm really looking forward to it, man. It's a cool, exciting opportunity for me. I thank the guys, Dustin and everybody at Crooked Scoreboard for the opportunity, and I'm excited to get going. So here we are with the Off Balance 3! In this first episode, I have a friend and colleague from SiriusXM Radio, Maral Nerkizian, who's a bit of a crazy person, especially when it comes to fostering imaginary relationships between athletes. But I love it. And I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation about sports BFFs. And then later we have Jeff Young, who was just named the baseball editor of Crooked Scoreboard. He also joins me to talk about terrible entrance songs for baseball closers. He's a real fun dude. I think you're going to enjoy both conversations. So be sure to take a peek at the website, CrookedScoreboard.com. Follow me on Twitter at Aaron Hodges. That's AaronHodges. But first, let's jump into our musical performance from the band Engage. All right, that was Engage. Check out their Reverb Nation page, reverbnation.com/engage4, and the website engagetheband.com. And now it's time for the sports BFFs. Throughout the history of sports, athletes have captured our imagination. Not only do their physical skills intrigue us, but occasionally, their personalities leave us daydreaming about what it'd be like to hang out with them. Imagine sharing a hot dog with Babe Ruth, or going to Vegas with Dennis Rodman. Better yet, imagine sharing a hot dog and a beer with Babe Ruth and Dennis Rodman in Vegas. To help me explore the world of sports BFFs, I'm now joined by one of my SiriusXM BFFs, a woman who runs a couple comedy channels, including Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup with Jeff Foxworthy, and Larry the Cable Guy, as well as acting as the mama bear for the whole department. It's Maral Nerkizian, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. So this is interesting because you kind of unprompted came to me the other day and said, I want Cam Newton and Steph Curry to be best friends.
I did.
And you're a very casual sports fan, right?
Yeah, I'm super casual. I don't really know much about stats or plays or, you know, any of that real guy, dude, watching sports thing. I just watch it more for the enjoyment and the entertainment of the players. I find them to be intriguing. I also find their athleticism to be excellent since I am completely the extreme opposite. I can't even run a straight line. So,
have you ever been given a sobriety test?
No, legally, no. I've done them on my own, but
yeah,
no. And I can't really maintain the straight line.
Alphabet backwards? Can you do
no,
that?
No, I absolutely can't do that at all, sober.
I've tried it sober. I was pretty good at it at one point, and I'm a little rusty. I could dust it off right now.
Oh, yeah?
If you want.
All right, let's try it.
Z Y X W V U T S R Q P O N M L K J H G F E D C B A.
Wow, holy crap.
Did I nail it?
I think so.
I think I did too.
I can't, I mean, I don't even, my brain just doesn't work. Pretty much my brain doesn't work at all. So it's very hard for me to even put those letters together.
That really hurt my brain right now, actually, getting through that exercise.
But that's pretty impressive,
no
man.
No way I could do that drunk, though.
No way.
All right. So I mentioned you work with Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy. You've become a little bit close with Larry. You're almost a co-host on his weekly show. I mean, not technically, but, you chime in. You're a sidekick.
Little bit.
You guys have fun.
We have a good time. It's a good show. It's upbeat. It's positive. Sometimes we go down some rabbit holes, but otherwise it's a good time. Fridays, we have a good time together.
That's, what's the channel number? It's 90, I should know. 97, yes?
It's 97. SiriusXM, Jeff and Larry's Comedy Roundup on SiriusXM 97.
And Larry's live just about every Friday.
Pretty much every Friday he's live, 10 a.m. East. Sometimes he goes live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. if he has to travel or if he has a short turnaround. But mostly every Friday, we just hang out. We kick it for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. We talk about things in the news, what's going on in the world, his obsession with Battle of the Network Stars.
Right, yeah. I saw him live tweeting that the other day.
Yeah,
and pretty interesting.
He loves that, and he loves the 80s, as do I. So we have a lot of conversations back and forth about 80s music, 80s people, 80s outfits, 80s hair. Yeah, it's really interesting. If you love the 80s, you should tune in.
So it's for that older demographic, I guess.
Yes, yeah. It's all for the 40 and up.
So Larry's a big golfer. He likes golfing. Who do you think we should pair him up as a sports BFF?
All right. So Larry loves, he's obsessed with golf, and he actually has a lot of friends. I don't know who his friends are in the golf world, but if I could pair up Larry with a golfer, a current golfer.
Oh, I know who it would be.
It would be my all-time, my favorite, my current favorite, Ricky Fowler. Only because I find them, both of them, to be completely adorable in different ways. And I think that Ricky could definitely school Larry on a lot of things, like fashion, for one. But I also think that they would hit it off because they're very charming, both of them. I mean, I don't know Ricky personally, but I dream to know him. And I imagine that sometimes Ricky's my best friend. So I think that Larry and Ricky would make a good team. I think they would be good sidekicks. I think that Ricky would show Larry up with some ways to be a better golfer, but also a good wingman.
And Ricky has a little bit of a personality, right? He's not the most boring golfer in the world,
No.
He can kind of roll with Larry comedy-wise and kind of go with the punches, right?
Right, absolutely. I think Ricky has a fun personality. He's young, obviously, but he definitely has a good personality. He's a lot of fun. So if you follow him on his socials, you'll see all those guys that big four now, or the core four, whatever they're calling it.
Core four sounds good.
I like that. But I'm sure that's not what it's called. Also, I'm very good at mangling up any kind of sports, what is it called when they make up a...
Like an acronym?
Yeah, whatever. Like anything.
Like a dream team?
Any kind of names or acronyms they make up, I'm very good at butchering those and making up my own. So anyway.
That's okay. We won't hold your feet to the fire on the core four.
I don't really know.
But it's a bit of an odd coupling, Ricky Fowler.
Absolutely.
And Larry the Cable Guy.
Right.
But I think it would work. I think Ricky would probably end up being influenced a little bit by Larry. He'll probably end up having some kind of like bright orange sleeveless shirt to the next tournament.
That would be fun. Yes.
Like an orange camo situation. I like that pairing a lot. So you spend a lot of time thinking and fantasizing about how to build friendships and who should be friends with each other, right? It's so adorable. Your face is beaming right now because you're just full of life with all the possibilities.
It's very childish, I would say, but at the same time,
this is no different than fantasy football. Oh, this is fantasy friendship.
This is fantasy friendship. I guess, okay. Yes. I have an obsession with making fantasy friendships between like certain sports players and myself, and maybe every once in a while I'll throw in, you know, a cartoon character or a wrestler or something.
Like Jem.
Jem. Yes. I do have an obsession with Jem, and I think that I have the perfect pairing for her.
Oh, really?
In the female fighting world.
Oh, okay.
I think that her and Ronda Rousey should be friends.
I like that a lot. I like that.
I think they could teach each other a thing or two. They could teach each other about hair and makeup and throwing down, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would be a fun little pairing.
Throwing down. I feel like I could throw out almost any name and you have a match already.
I mean, maybe. Maybe, yes. Maybe not.
Hilarious.
We'll see.
All right. Who do you want to be friends with?
Oh, that's... I want to be friends with all these people. I'm obsessed with them. In my head, I think they're so cool. Who would I want to be friends with? That's rough. Can I have more than one BFF?
Absolutely. You can have three BFFs right now.
Okay. So I want to be friends with Charles Barkley.
Okay.
I'd love to be friends with Mike Piazza. I kind of want to be friends with Derek Jeter, but not really, only because I embarrassed myself in front of him once many years ago.
What's that story?
I was sitting behind home plate, I guess. A friend of mine's dad had these special seats.
We get it. You're rich.
So no. And we were lucky enough to get these tickets, so we weren't that far away. And he was standing there getting ready to get up on plate. He was doing his stretch moves and all this. And my big
bending
mouth.
Over.
Yeah, my big mouth screamed, "Nice ass." And he turned around and just looked at me, and I was like, "Well." And then I got the wink, and I pretty much had a heart attack and melted.
Oh,
I was with my
God.
Friend at the time, this guy, Vinny.
How old were you?
I was probably 24-ish, 24, 25.
All right.
Yeah. And then after that, I was like, I really thought that we had a secret romance going because he winked at me. And then I realized really fast that, you know, that's what he does to the ladies. So.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, actually, a friendship with Derek Jeter. And I guess it would be kind of cool to be friends with him in the realm of baseball. But if you step outside of it, major dud, I think. The only appeal is sexually. He's a very handsome guy, but I don't think there's a lot of personality there.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I always wonder because he was so handsome and so good at what he did. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years later, whatever, it's like all these things, social media exploded and whatever, and all these things came out where he used to give the dates or the people he slept with that baseball basket, whatever thing.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, And as he got older, I just got more mature or my taste changed, but I found him to be less and less attractive. As a woman, female.
As the hairline went back, your attraction waned.
But I watched I think it was HBO, I'm not sure, where it was like, they did that whole thing on him. It was like the documentary. And was it Minka Kelly that he was with at the time?
Sure,
whatever. And then they broke up around that. So I was like, oh, maybe he kind of has a personality. And it's like he almost has a personality. But then it's just a dud.
He's guarded. He's got too much to protect.
Yeah. He's not open. That's the reason, though, when I watch some of these players, they're just right out and open. Their personalities shine on the court, on the field, wherever they are. And they're just fun. And they're cool and cute. And then they do all these things. And then they get into fashion. And that's what I'm talking about. They're all like Jem. Everybody ends up being like Jem.
Like, who are you thinking about specifically?
Currently, Cam Newton is one of my favorite players because he's got the best smile and the best fashion sense. Some might believe that that's not the case.
Those pants he was wearing the other day, those were kind of Jem-like.
His pants that he wore, was it yesterday when he got off
those
the plane?
Those yellow and white things?
Those are Versace pants, the way, that are such a hit. And those shoes, those pants are sold out. They're like $800.
No way.
Charlie Rose.
Cam's moving the needle on Versace pants?
Amazing. Charlie Rose and what's her name? Laura O'Donnell, I guess, and Oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting her, blanking her out.
A reporter?
She's on CBS in the morning with Charlie Rose.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch TV in the
morning. Oh, I'm obsessed. But I'm obsessed with the news. That's a whole nother subject altogether. Gayle King.
There you go.
Gayle King and Charlie O'Donnell. Anyway, so the Charlie Rose, I'm sorry. They saw those pants, and Gayle and Laura O'Donnell bet Charlie Rose if he could get those pants, she would give him $800 for the pants, or whatever it was. And they made the joke, and it was ha-ha and whatever. And then this morning, guess who showed up with those pants?
No kidding.
Amazing. If anyone can go and check it out at CBS Morning, whatever, Instagram, you'll see Charlie Rose wearing those pants.
So big fan of Cam and his fashion sense.
Amazing. Yes.
Is Russell Westbrook on your radar?
I don't know him.
I thought he might be over your head.
Can I Google him?
You should Google image him.
I will.
He's worn some very daring outfits, and I think you would enjoy him as well. So put him on your radar.
Okay.
Think about matching him up with some people, because I think he'd be pretty fun.
Okay.
You mentioned Charles Barkley.
Yes.
And Mike Piazza. And yesterday, you mentioned to me that sometimes you imagine that those two are friends.
Back in the day, I did imagine those two were friends.
So Charles Barkley, Mike Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing when they're not playing basketball or baseball? And they're hanging out together. What do you imagine them doing?
Completely innocent, because this is what I feel like. Those two, who you think have nothing in common, I find them to be very good at boating.
It's like sailing?
Sailing. So I feel like the two of them would be on a sailboat, and they would just go and just chill. I imagine them in their little outfits with their boat shoes and with their little sweaters around their necks.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're just sailing. And then they kick back and, you know, not too much alcohol involved, maybe a beer or two.
Yeah.
And they're just listening to cool breeze music and sailing away.
Just vibing to the sounds of Kenny G.
Yeah.
Now, is there any competition over who's captain, or are they very cordial and they take turns?
I think they're very cordial. I believe they take turns. I do believe that sometimes, because of Charles Barkley's height, he may be, I don't know exactly the words of what it's called, but you have to wrangle up the whatevers.
Yeah, right.
And then pull them down and then move them over. If you could see the gestures I'm doing, you would know what I'm talking about. But
the sails.
Yeah, the sails. You could Google image pictures of sailboats and you can see.
Are they alone? Just the two of them?
Yeah, just the two of them. They're just chill bros. They go on a sail together.
No ladies?
No, this isn't a ladies' trip.
Okay.
This is more a two buds. This is just a cool two bud, you know, early evening sail ride.
Are they any kind of like recreational drug use?
No.
These guys are very.
There's, like I said, there's maybe like a couple, one or two beers.
Okay.
Nothing too crazy, but it's just a very chilled, relaxed time together.
Do they talk or they just kind of enjoy the scenery and the sailing?
Well, I picture them, you know, they talk about, you know, maybe Michael asked Charles, you know, how's life? How's things going? How's your family? You know, they catch up on little things like that. But, you know, for the most part, it's just two bros just hanging out, enjoying the beautiful scenery, the ocean air, the sun setting. It's just this magical moment between these two great players from totally different worlds.
Okay. All right, and is this kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime situation, or they get together like once a month sailing club?
Well, no. So here's the thing. Because they don't live near each other, it's hard for them to get together often.
Right.
So they try to make like a, you know, a thing about a summer trip or a vacation thing. So ultimately what the situation is they'll make a family vacation. And, you know, they'll pick a place. And then at that time, whether it's a week together or whatever, the two of them go off
to
sail.
They do their own thing.
So they go off to do the sail while the kids and the families and the friends, whoever they've brought with them, are out to dinner or whatever. Those two are out sailing.
Hmm.
So that's what I envision.
It's a very comforting friendship.
Yeah.
Like they're almost soul brothers.
Yeah. I feel like it's a positive, warm love that the two of them have for each other.
Huh.
Yeah.
And is that something you see in them individually that complements each other?
I believe so. I believe because, you know, Charles Barkley has this fun, silly little personality. Sometimes he says things that are just crazy and off the wall. Off the wall. But he's got a good heart. He doesn't mean, but he's not malicious. He means well. And then Mike Piazza is very religious, very calm, very kind individual. So that's why I bring those two together.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there any other pairing that is one of your favorites right now for current players?
Oh, current players. Okay. Current players. Let's see. Pairing wise, so we can go back to golf, and I'd say I love that Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler are all buddies.
The core four.
And the other one, which I'm missing now. Again, my brain is faster than my mouth.
I couldn't tell
but,
you.
But so those guys, I love them. I love the fun that they have.
They're like a rat pack?
It's a cool little rat pack. They hang out. They do fun things on the golf course. You know, there's also Bubba. I don't know if you know Bubba's
Bubba
a
Watson?
Big, Bubba Watson, yeah. So, you know, like all these guys, like there's this cool little clique that's like young, cool, fun golfers. And Rory McIlroy is a younger, cool golfer. But the thing about him, which I know that they're all friendly, and I'm not going to say, but in my head, I envision him to be a little bit of a snob. I feel like he's a golf snob.
All right.
So he's very protective of his personality, his persona, his career. He wants to win. He's really good at it. He works hard, which I admire and I think is amazing.
You watch a lot of golf, huh?
I do.
Not willingly. You kind of, your fiance watches it a lot and you're just kind of there?
No. Like, so here's the thing. I always liked golf.
Yeah.
Before I even got together with my fiance, my boyfriend, I always liked golf. I was a big miniature golf player.
Me too. I was a finalist in a miniature golf tournament one time.
Really?
Yeah, my team was named the Long Strokers.
I love it. Was it like a down the shore kind of thing?
Yeah. We won a tournament. We qualified for the big tournament, and we all wore Argyle socks as our uniform.
Amazing.
There's four of us. And then the final was at Blackbeard's Cave.
Okay.
In Bayville, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, yeah, you kept your own score.
Right. So you couldn't, yeah.
And we were very honest.
Yeah.
But we suspect that the team beat us.
Whoa, they were
shaved
cheating.
Some points. We suspect that to this day. So They were taking strokes from the Long Strokers.
That's not good.
But, you know, hey, we had fun.
As long as you had fun. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all
when
about.
When you play a sport, it's all about the fun. That's another reason why I love that Cam Newton and Steph Curry.
You love Cam and Steph. Now, this is interesting because Steph is a big fan of the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton.
Apparently, unbeknownst to me, they had made their own friendship without me knowing about it.
They should have consulted you.
I had already pegged those two to be BFFs. And then I discovered they were BFFs.
Whoa! And did that blow your mind?
Blew my mind!
It's like, but that's got to be one of those moments where you have to sit back and think to yourself, I am in tune with the universe.
I am absolutely. And I feel so good about it because it's such a positive thing. These two, they're so good. But I don't like the people who write, all these sports writers and people, not all of them, I can't say, but they're like, of course they're having fun. They're playing sports for a living. You know what? Maybe you're right. Of course they're playing a sport. But it's still hard work. It doesn't mean they're slacking. There are lots and lots of players that have a miserable puss face when they're playing sports.
Like who?
I wouldn't know their names because obviously they're puss faces and I'm not attracted
not worth
to
the time.
Them.
Yeah.
I don't give them the time. But if you can watch any sport and you could see some of those people just look so angry and sad. So of course these two stand out to me. They shine above the rest.
They're the best at their profession right now.
They absolutely are.
Who's better than Steph Curry in basketball right
Nobody.
Now?
Nobody.
And is anyone better than Cam Newton at quarterback?
Not really. Except.
He's a different style of quarterback.
He sure is. Because he actually plays and he actually makes touchdowns more often than most regular players.
That's right. What do you say to the people that say that Cam is too cocky, he's arrogant, and he's disrespectful to the game?
I don't believe he's cocky or arrogant, disrespectful. There's other players that I've seen. Again, I can't name them because I'm not interested in them. I've seen them to be like rude and crude on the field and mean, and they like do obnoxious things. I don't understand. You're supposed to play football. Football, you hit each other, you do all that. I get that. But then there's like the over-aggressive player who's got to like pull and push and punch and tug. I don't get that. I don't see him doing that. I believe he's having a good time. I believe that he feels good about what he's doing. He's proud of his team and himself. I don't believe he's so cocky. And I like the whole idea that he feels that he's Superman because that's a little showy. That's, you got to have some show this day and age.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're paying that guy a lot of money to entertain people like me, which I think he's doing a great job of.
You're entertained.
I am, absolutely. And he's making money for the team.
All right, so what are Steph Curry and Cam Newton doing on their downtime?
Oh, those two silly boys. I think they're getting into some trouble. But I mean,
really?
You know, I think that, you know what, I envision those two sitting in like their own movie theater, just watching like old, like, I shouldn't say old because they're pretty new to me, but you know, because those two are actually young. They're still in their 20s, so.
They're watching like a Friday.
They're watching like Friday. Yeah, exactly. Those kind of movies. They're just hanging out, laughing, watching some silly cartoons. I think they're young.
I think they're very childlike.
They're still,
they still have childlike joy. And I think that bothers people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the majority of people that are playing or watching are a little older.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. These two guys and their age, most players don't get or excel to that greatness at such a young age. The players are good.
True.
Right?
They usually don't hit their prime until they're close to 30.
Right. So, like, players are good when they're young, but they haven't mastered their craft. Is that kind of whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
So, the thing is, they're kind of like, not that they're sloppy, but they're just, like, not excellent at it. You know, they have the strength and they have, like, the endurance because they're young, but they're not polished. Right? But these guys have all of that all in one in such a young age. So I don't even know what's going to happen in like 5 years with these guys. Because it's like, can they even get any better than
right,
this?
Right. Are they already at their peak?
Right. Right. So like for the Super Bowl, they call the other guy, Denver.
Peyton?
Yeah, they call Mr. Peyton. Well, he called him, not they, but the sheriff, because he's like right. This guy, right?
I don't know when that started, but just as a side note, I don't know when he began being called the sheriff. I feel like that's a very recent thing, or I just somehow missed it.
Well, yeah, so when they ended the 2 weeks ago when the Panthers won, right?
Yeah.
They told Cam Newton when they interviewed him.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't even know that the Broncos had won. Yeah.
Right. He didn't even know. He's like, I don't even know who we're playing. And then they told him, and he goes, oh, man, I'm playing the sheriff. And that was the greatest moment because it was like, you know what? Again, he nailed it. He's right. He's playing the sheriff. And listen, the Peyton, the brothers, there's lots of jokes. Be silly. They're very silly. As much as those two, I would never imagine them to have these great personalities because they're kind of duddy-like.
Yeah.
The Nationwide commercial definitely cracks me up.
Still,
because they've added on to it now.
All right.
And there's all these, so it's like they're taking a dry piece of paper and they're drawing colors on it. That's basically
an excellent description.
What the Manning brothers are to
me.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up and pivot.
Okay.
And finish this with Eli Manning.
Yes.
Who is Eli Manning hanging out with? I'll throw a name out there that you're not going to know, but for the audience.
Okay.
Eli Manning will be hanging out with Timofey Mozgov.
Huh. Okay.
You don't know.
I don't.
Plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for the Knicks for a time.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Now he plays for the Cavaliers.
Sure.
And the Nuggets. He bounced around the league a little bit.
Okay.
But he had this really entertaining blog where it was just kind of like, hey, I'm this Russian that barely speaks English, and here I am in the NBA.
Right. Just, I can see
just
it.
Just trying to figure out American culture.
Sure.
And he's kind of, he's tall, he's lanky, he's goofy, looks stupid.
Okay.
Kind of like Eli, still trying to master the English language.
Totally right? Painting the perfect picture. These guys should be best friends. You're right.
Yes, I see Eli almost being like a tutor for Timofey.
Right.
Right? Here's how you speak English. Here's how you give a canned response to sports reporters.
Okay.
And not that eventually Timofey is going to bore of Eli, and he's going to move on.
He'll excel in his career path and his social path.
His social path, okay. Mostly, because okay. He's just going to be like, is this all there is to you, Eli?
Right. That's it. Like, that's all you got,
you
Mr.
play
Wood?
Football. Right.
That's it.
And Timofey's going to be like, America kind of sucks. I might go back to Russia. But for a time, they will have a moment in time
where the two
of them are bonded.
Okay.
And it'll be a special time for them. 2-3 year period of friendship, I think, where they just kind of look back fondly and they say, man, that was fun. I hope he's doing well.
I love it.
That's what I see for Eli and Timofey.
All right.
What about you? You have any thoughts on Eli and who he's friends with?
So, you know what? The thing about Eli is I would assume that he would have more friends as pets than people. I feel that Eli's friendships are more one-sided. Not that he's not a good guy, but I do. Again, he doesn't speak eloquently. I mean, who am I to say that? I'm not a very eloquent speaker, but you know, he's out in the public. He's very good at his job. He's a sports player. I don't want to say sports people are dumb because that's not a nice, you know, stereotype, but. He's not dumb. He just comes off that
way.
He comes very. Yeah, yeah. He comes off like a doofus.
But he's not.
So I would see him being best friends like a Labrador.
Absolutely.
Like a doofy or like a Malamute, like, you know, big doofy big dog, fluffy hair. Kinda.
You're so good at this. I am in awe.
So that's who I would see his best friend being. You know, all due respect, I think he's a great guy and he's talented. I just feel that that's his best friend would be a dog.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's a great way to wrap up. Eli and a dog just riding off into the sunset.
Yeah.
I think as the show goes on, we should have you on as a recurring guest.
Okay.
Just update us on friendships that are possibly blossoming.
Okay.
And
perfect.
Just prospects of friendship.
I'd be honored.
In the sports world. Because you are fantastic.
Thank you.
This was so much fun, and I hope we can do it again.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
And so people can follow you on Twitter.
They can.
At Maralik.
Maralik, yep.
MARALIQ.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
And she's fun. She's
kinda,
a fun follow.
Kind of fun.
I think you can tell just by how much thought she's put into friendships. She's a very thorough woman and fun to be around.
Thank you.
It was a real pleasure.
Thanks.
That was too much fun. Thanks so much to Maral for joining me. Love that girl. Anytime you want to email me, you can reach me, aaronontheradio@gmail.com. And again, my Twitter, @AaronHodges. You can follow me and, of course, follow Maral. So now we pivot over to my conversation with Jeff Young, baseball editor at crookedscoreboard.com. He's been a writer for ESPN.com. You're going to hear the credits that I give him in the interview. So why am I doing it again? I don't know, to lend him more credibility, I guess. He's a cool dude. He probably doesn't need credibility from me, but I guess I feel like putting him over a little bit more. Anyway, here's my conversation with Jeff Young.
This is the worst part. Could believe for all the world that you're my precious little girl. But don't let's start. I've got a weak heart and I won't be around. I could get around.
What is that goofy song? What is that goofy song? It's They Might Be Giants. Why am I playing They Might Be Giants? You might ask. Well, it's because I'm joined by Jeff Young. @_JeffYoung on Twitter. He's written for the Baseball Prospectus, ESPN.com, Padres Public, and, you know, he got a nice little book called The Baseball Prospectus as well. And now, according to your Twitter feed, Jeff, we might be breaking this news right here, but you're named the baseball editor of CrookedScoreboard.com. Is this true?
That is very true. I can confirm the rumors.
Wow. I mean, the internet was buzzing. You broke it right here on the first ever episode of the podcast.
That's right.
This is big news, man. I hope people are okay with this because they had a few other people up for the job and you beat them out.
It's huge.
It's huge. Congratulations, man. It's a big move.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you coming here on the podcast and joining
my
me
pleasure.
Here to help me BS my way through some baseball talk because I am not the biggest baseball fan, but I really loved your article on the Crooked Scoreboard, the worst possible closer entrance songs.
Awesome. Thanks.
So, tell me a little bit why you chose the They Might Be Giants song, Don't Let's Start.
Well, the main thing with that one is, I mean, first of all, you're talking about closers, and it's right there in the title of the song, Don't Let's Start. And, I mean, of course, a closer is not going to be starting. So, already you've got kind of a little bit of a, you know, a mismatch right there. From there, it just kind of continues onward. Plus, it's a really cool tune, and it's kind of funky and... It would definitely throw you off. If you hear somebody coming into that, your first reaction is going to be, what is going on? So, you know, you got the whole disorientation thing going there.
It did take me like 2-3 listens to really catch the groove of that song. It's a little disjointed at first.
Yeah, they're an acquired taste. I happen to love them, but yeah, they're definitely a little bit unusual.
And you mentioned Dennis Eckersley in that explanation. The last closer that I really dug because of, you know, the unorthodox delivery, much like They Might Be Giants, if you will.
Oh, very nice. Very nice connection. Yeah. Well, you know, and that was again with the lyric in the song about I've got a weak heart in the world of sports, and you hear a lot of bravado, and so you don't hear a lot of admission of weakness. And of course, Eckersley was one who famously did make such admissions of being motivated by fear, you know, which is another reason to admire the guy, to go out there and kind of have that attitude and still go out there and do your job. It's a very courageous and heroic act.
See, I never knew that about Dennis Eckersley. Was he a really introspective guy?
You know, I'm not really sure about, I don't know too much beyond that, but he did have that particular quote, and it was a very, it always stood out in my mind because it was a very, it was a sort of thing you did not hear professional athletes and continue not to hear professional athletes admit publicly very often. And I always thought, hey, that's kind of cool. I mean, he's going out there. He says he's motivated by fear. He goes out there, he does it, and keeps going at it.
What kind of fear gets you out of bed? What are you afraid
kind of?
What motivates you?
Oh. fear of not having coffee, I think.
Do you think you're addicted to coffee?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Like, how long can you go without it?
How long? Not long. I've tried it at various points in my life, and it's, you know, those 3 o'clock headaches are pretty nasty. So yeah, I'm hooked big time. It's definitely my PED of choice.
Whatever gets you through the day, man.
Exactly.
So you're a big Padres fan, yeah?
Oh yeah.
Well, you write about baseball. You write about the Padres. Is it tough to kind of strike a balance between being a super fan and being objective?
You know, it might have been at the start, but I've been doing this for long enough that it kind of, you know, I can sort of put on those two different hats and kind of bounce back and forth. I mean, you know, you always have your favorite players or whatever that you'll kind of develop a blind spot for. But, you know, over time, you kind of learn what your own biases are and hopefully account for that when you're writing about stuff. And then, of course, when you're watching the games, all bets are off because you'll still be up there screaming at the TV or whatever.
So we talk about the Padres. Trevor Hoffman was a Padre, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I really have to ask because, like, I'm pretty sure. But, like, not even close to 99% sure. But he was, and his famous entrance song as a closer was AC/DC's Hell's Bells.
Right.
A song that kind of strikes fear in the heart of the opponent when they hear it.
Definitely. Pretty iconic. You hear that bell going and then the guitar riff and, you know, it's slow and steady. And then he comes in from the bullpen and everybody gets up on their feet and is just going nuts and the drums kick in and it's just, you know, pure adrenaline.
Yeah. I mean, the New York Giants usually use it for their kickoff song.
Nice.
And that really gets the crowd going as well. Almost as much as Fireman Ed does for the Jets, but, you know, what can you do? Everybody can't have a Fireman Ed. After They Might Be Giants, your song choices just get even more weird.
Thank you.
Like this little doozy right here, I want to play a little clip of your next submission for the worst closer entrance song. It's Kenny G. Oh my God, that's so smooth. That
right,
is
it totally sets
so
the mood for you, right?
Smooth. I mean, a knuckleball closer could come out to that, I think.
Yeah, you're going to feel pretty chill by the time you get in from the bullpen. You're going to be ready to just lie down and take a nap.
I mean, what closer in the game right now do you think fits this song? Is there anyone?
You know, I don't know that there honestly is. Yeah, it's sort of hard to imagine, which is kind of why I'd like to see it happen.
No doubt, man. Oh my God, this video is ridiculous. Him and just there's like a naked little boy running around in the fields and the mountains and the sea and just an old couple. I mean, Kenny G just encapsulates just all stages of life.
Yeah, he's kind of in a class by himself. It's really something, I guess, is the word I would say.
No question about it. At this point, I want to submit to you my entrance for
cool.
A terrible closer song. A little ditty from SWV. Maybe you remember this one. I get so weak in the knees. Oh man.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty epic.
That's a jam right there.
That would be solid.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, I mean, I was thinking about it on my way home from work today, just picturing this song, and I imagined a baseball version of Semi-Pro where Will Ferrell is playing the closer and this is his entrance song.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing like a sing-along jam to get the crowd all united.
Well, yeah, you know, and I kind of like that. I mean, that vibe, the A's have a guy, Josh Reddick, who, he's not a closer, but when he comes up to bat, he comes up to, it's either George Michael or it's Wham, but he comes up to Careless Whisper. And it's like the best thing ever, because who does that?
Yeah. Do you go to a lot of minor league games?
I do, when I can, yeah. I love minor league games.
Okay, because where I grew up, there's a minor league team, the Lakewood Blue Claws, right around there. I think they're affiliate for the Yankees now. They used to be for the Phillies. I went to a couple games last summer, and they have a guy named Cord. I can't remember his last name, but his first name is Cord. And when he comes to bat, they play some Christian rock for him.
Oh, nice.
So he's a fan favorite. We were chanting his name by the end of the game. And I'll tell you, he had an at-bat where he fouled off about 15 pitches. I mean, he was battling. I gained a lot of respect for Cord of the Lakewood Blue Claws after that day. And it started with the entrance song. So,
nice.
You know, it makes a big difference, as you know.
Oh, definitely.
So tell me a little bit about the Enya song that you chose for a terrible entrance song for a closer.
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. I didn't know this about the song at the time I wrote the article, but when I was researching it, I actually did research for the article, believe it or not. But when I was researching it, I found out it's actually a pretty old song. It was part of a musical, and then it ended up in a movie, and it had actually quite a long history. And, you know, I have to admit, first of all, I grew up listening to like really hard rock and so forth, but I'm also a musician, so I kind of appreciate a lot of different things. And I actually really love Enya. I mean, I have all of her CDs. I think she's got the best voice ever. Well,
wow.
I mean, she's got a great voice. I really dig Enya. I have no compunction whatsoever. I have no shame whatsoever in flying my Enya flag high. But this is such a beautiful song, and she delivers it so beautifully, and it's so incredibly inappropriate for baseball. that I couldn't resist.
I think it's inappropriate for just about anything except a bubble bath. I mean, this is my go-to bubble bath soundtrack. I'm not, like, I thought I was going to break some news to you that I'm a huge Enya fan, but here we are. We both appreciate and love her talent. Listen, this voice, she's an angel.
Totally.
But it doesn't really strike fear into anybody.
No, it just doesn't work for that at all. Like, maybe after you win and you're just trying to, you know, you got some downtime, like, say, in a bubble bath.
In a bubble bath, yeah. There you go.
That would be entirely appropriate, but during the game itself, maybe not so much.
Could be a great team-building exercise to just kind of put everybody in the cold bath after the game, just ice up, and everybody's just face mask on, eyes closed, just meditating to Semenya.
Yeah, I think you've actually just invented a new reality show.
Oh, yeah? Who should we cast here? Which team?
Oh, man. Who needs help? You know, maybe the Rockies or something like that.
The Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any weak spots on the team where, you know, this would definitely help?
I think just general attitude, really. I think it's just, you know, it's gonna put you in that frame of mind that says, hey, it's all good. We've got Enya.
Do you have something against the Colorado Rockies, or...?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't have anything against the Colorado Rockies. I don't think they're going to be very good this year, and probably they could use a little soothing from someone like Enya.
Absolutely. Maybe the Padres and Rockies had a rivalry that I was unaware of, and these were just a slight dig.
Oh, no, it's all good.
It's all good. Okay. All right. So, I mean, you did some extensive research for this list. Some of the songs that you had to be mulling over didn't make the cut. Do you have any that aren't on this article on Crooked Scoreboard that regretting you should have included?
I'm trying to think of what else you could do that would be really inappropriate. I don't know, something by Gwar, maybe.
Gwar.
You know, that'd be kind of...
That would be shocking, yeah. That would definitely be shocking. Can you wear a mask, like, on your run from the bullpen
awesome.
To the mound?
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I mean, it would be really kind of the next level.
Absolutely. I'm on board. So, craft beer, you're a lover of it.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite beer of all time?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question to answer. It varies a lot. It's usually the one that I had most recently. All time? Man, I don't know. Like, for a specialty beer, I'm a big fan of local beer here in San Diego, Pizza Port, Older Viscosity. The stuff will destroy you. It's like 13.5% alcohol, Ooh. But it's delicious. So you need to have friends to share that with.
Yeah.
Like, for everyday stuff, there's so many local breweries here in San Diego to choose from. I almost don't want to mention any for fear of offending the rest. I don't know. It's the best way I can put it is I'm very, very fortunate to live in a place where I can literally stumble into world-class breweries without even trying.
Absolutely. I've only been to San Diego one time, but I was working for radio for a Comic-Con. I didn't get to see much of the city because I was working most of the time, but I need to get back there. I loved it so much.
Definitely. We'll do it right.
Yeah. If I do, I'm going to look you up. And you got to take me to one of these breweries.
Oh, yes.
That'd be awesome. My favorite beer of all time is Buffalo Bill's Oatmeal Blueberry Stout.
Ooh. That sounds nice.
That's a good one for me. That's a good one. It's nice and crisp. It just reminds me of Christmas time. Right? A nice, dark, fruity beer. It's very, very delicious. Highly recommended.
I'm writing that down right now.
As we get close to the baseball season, we got spring training coming up pretty soon. Who are you looking at as favorites to go deep into the playoffs, possibly win the World Series?
Well, I mean, I think you got to start off with the teams that were there last year. The Royals, for sure, are proving themselves now that they've been there a couple of times. That's, you know, it wasn't an accident. The Mets, you know, I don't know if they can quite do that again, but they certainly gave it a good run. I think that NL Central is going to be just crazy again between the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Pirates. Sorry, Pirates fans. That was not an intentional diss. That was just my mind not working. But the Cubs in particular, I mean, they're so young, and they really kind of arrived ahead of schedule. Even if they take a little bit of a step back while some of those guys sort of develop a little consistency as they see their second and third time through the league, they're going to be tough. And they're going to be tough not only this year, but for a long time. Again, a similar type team over in the American League. We had the Houston Astros last year that kind of arrived a little ahead of schedule as well. And that's an organization that has a lot of smart people working for it and a lot of really good young talent. They're very exciting. There's going to be a lot of really interesting ball clubs this year.
It sounds to me like it's wide open.
It kind of is. I mean, yeah, you definitely have your traditional favorites or the favorites based on what you would expect, based on what happened last year. You can't count the Cardinals out. You can't count the Royals out. And then the up-and-comers. Yeah, I think it is going to be very wide open. I think the Royals are going to be tough in the AL. Now that they've done this a couple of times, you get sort of that, we believe we can do this now. We've done it a few times, like the Yankees used to do and Giants were doing. And you start getting that level of expectation, like, hey, you're going to have to go through us to make it happen. And that's on the one hand, everyone's gunning for you. On the other, a lot of times that forces you to step up your game or to keep your game at a high level.
As we go on with this podcast, I feel as if there will be editorial pressure to talk more baseball on this show. And I have a sense that maybe I'll be paying more attention to baseball this year. So I want to check in with you regularly, if that's okay, Jeff.
Oh, please.
You can keep me up to date. You don't seem like a guy that's going to force this baseball thing down my throat. You're like, here's why I like it, and maybe you'll like it too.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we'll do it.
The article, once again, is the worst possible closer entrance songs. It's on crookedscoreboard.com, of course. I just have to play the Britney Spears song as we're going out here, Jeff. I really appreciate you joining us here. Looking forward to seeing more articles up on the crookedscoreboard.com. All right, that's a wrap for the first ever episode of the Off Balance 3. I've been your host, Aaron Hodges, again. Follow me on Twitter, @AaronHodges. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Remember, you can always subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. I'd appreciate it if you gave a rating and review. 5 stars, of course, if you're feeling generous. If you're not, then don't go any lower than 4. But tell me how much you love me. My ego needs it. I'm very fragile as I record this in my freezing basement with very little insulation. So maybe if this podcast gets very popular, I can buy new windows and still be in my basement, but it'll at least be warm in the wintertime. Warm enough so I can entertain my thousands of fans at my home. I'll have a house party if this podcast gets huge. So that's my promise to you. If this podcast gets huge, I'll have a house party. Every single one of the listeners will be invited. We'll jump in my very modest above ground pool. It's really like an extended cabin hot tub. You understand? But the point is, if we could fit 1,000 people in there, just all kind of standing in my very modest above ground pool, that would be a blast. And I would love nothing more. And I'm sure the guys from Crooked Scoreboard and gals would come over. We'd have a nice little barbecue. So do your part in making sure that this house party happens. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll have another great show coming real soon.